We have a great big wonderful God. You know, John, 1 John chapter 3 here says in verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Children of God, and that's what we are. You know, serving the Lord has its mountaintops and valleys. It has its special times and not so special times. But walking by faith is about the routine times. It's not about the extraordinary. It's about the ordinary. Most of our life is spent with the ordinary. And there are those peaks in life that we remember, recall. You've had them perhaps. I certainly have had them. I'm going to share one with you. That we don't forget. It's etched in our memory. The goodness of God. I was only 15. And I got in a car one night. It's a Sunday night at 7:30, Orlando, Florida. Well, it was 11 o'clock that night. I skipped the last 2 years of high school, was headed for college. I was in a car with a family that I've just met. I had a $10 bill in a suitcase. And I was headed from Florida to Iowa. Things happened fast that time, because I'd only known it at 7:30 that night, and 11 o'clock that night, I was on the road. And there's a lot more to that story, but where I'm headed is to Tennessee for now. I arrived in Tennessee. We'd been on the road, obviously, for some time. And by then, reality starts catching up. Where am I going? What's this about? And maybe the biggest question was, is God in this? Am I really doing the will of God? Went to White Bluff, Tennessee. There was a family there. And this preacher and his wife were stopping there to spend a day or two. And so that's where I was when I had my 16th birthday. I was in Tennessee, not at home with a birthday cake, but far away. I went down to the local store, which is kind of like it's a very small town, so it was like a convenience store, drug store combined. And I've been, by then, asking the Lord, Lord, am I really,
that I've had to redo
now and then,
the right thing
in ministry? He said, you committed to this, stay with
and
it.
I came around the corner of the store.
And I have.
And they're right in front of me.
Not folded up,
is,
not wadded up, but all laid out just like someone put it there.
And that year was 1958.
A great big wonderful God. But you sit in this auditorium, and many of you who have been here for some time, at least a few years, been part of the great restoration in this auditorium, and all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us from the very front wall up here, all in the baptistry, all the way to the back door. God has done wondrous things here, a story to be told, a story to be remembered. But when we got to the end of all of this, we had a bill coming due of $10,000, and we had established an equity loan in order that if there was money needed at the end, we were committed to delving into that equity loan and paying that bill, and then we would pay it off. I was homesick. Now and then I do get sick. And I got a call from Dale Fisher, the one who, of course, was instrumental in much of this. And he said, Art, have you checked the church mail lately? And I said, no, I haven't even been up there. I'm home. He said, well, sometimes miracles happen. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? So I got up here, and of course there was a pile of mail out there, and most all of it goes from that basket to another basket, about as fast as I can carry it. Except for one letter. Just a nondescript business letter, handwritten, hand name up in the top. Came from, I think it was like Phoenix, Arizona. And I thought, okay, don't know what that's about. I opened it up. And there was a check inside with a sticky note. Not a letter, not some grandiose, you know, long spiel, but just a couple, three sentences that said, I hear Dale's working on your building and I have some extra money and I wanted to donate it. $10,000. Now, I don't know if God has ever left you $10 or $10,000. It doesn't matter. God is good to you all the time. Don't miss his sunrise. Don't miss his sunset. And don't miss the air you breathe. Because he's all around you. Now we can talk. You thought that was a sermon. Oh, I'm just getting rolling. Because I want to talk about Jesus. You know, the great songs we sing, we say Rock of Ages, Amazing Grace, but probably the greatest song written is the children's song. What is it? Thank you. It is, isn't it? This scripture in 1 John, it reads in chapter 4, if I turn the page. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Amen. Let's just add John 15 while we're on a roll. This is John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 15. And if you've got a red letter Bible, you'll find out that chapter 14, 15, 16, 17 has a whole lot of red letters. Because Jesus is doing a lot of talking here. But right in the middle of some of this, as he's talking about the vine and the branches, he brings up this. This is beginning in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Put your name in there, by the way. Don't make it just humanity, you know, someone down the street. Make it personal, okay? Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You want fullness of life. You want joy, peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the giver of joy. We walk in him. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for in everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus came to this earth to be me. He wanted to know what it's like to be me. No, I could tell him what it's like to be me. But he had to actually experience being me, so to speak. So when I see him, walking with his disciples and in the world and how those around him, his culture and everyone act and react to his presence. I see in his sorrow, in his troubles, in his exultations, times when he's happy, times when he sees great things happening, and times when he hits that pit of sorrow and being in great anguish to the point of actually dying for me. In all of that, I see Jesus doing it for me. Because he loved me. And who are we, says the song, that God would love us? We bring nothing to the table. The angels, I'm sure, just are in wonderment of why does God love that pile of dirt? But we're special. We're special because God said so. We're special because God said, they are so special to me, I am willing to send my own son to be like them, to be them, so he can die and suffer in their place, so that I can be him. What? That's right. Jesus came to be me so that I can be him. You say, oh, be a God? No. Be the Son of God? Yes, adopted. But certainly, everything that Jesus shows us about the Father, and he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then God then sends us his Holy Spirit at the time of our baptism in order to progressively mold and make and change me from the time I was that teenager that got in that car to who I am now. I have to say, it's all about God bringing about the presence of his Son in an open and ready and receiving vessel. Are you that vessel? Is our prayer not, Lord, do whatever you need to do to make me the vessel, to be the person you want me to be? Change me. You know, sometimes people say, well, pray for me. And I say, okay, but I'm thinking, you think along this line for just a moment. How about if I pray for you? And my prayer is, Lord, do whatever you have to do to save them. And if there's pride and ego in the way, crush them. Pull the rug. Bring them down from their heavenly sphere that of selfishness of where they're living to reality that they are nothing and they need Jesus Christ. You want me to pray for you? Is that the prayer you want? Oh no, I want you to pray that I get a good job and I have a good home and my children are healthy and we all live happily ever after, and that's the way the book's supposed to be written. Well, that's a good book, but that's not the book we're living in unless you're in Jesus Christ. You're living in the wrong book, because the book you're living in ends in destruction. So Lord, bless them richly and pull a rug if you have to. But save everyone here. Is that a good prayer? Sure it is. But it's kind of harsh too, isn't it? I haven't even gotten to the sermon, so I got to get going. Hebrews chapter 2 is where I'm headed. That was all introduction. Hebrews chapter 2, you think, uh-oh, here we go, a long sermon. No, I get to the point rather quickly, because the writer here gets to the point rather quickly. Hebrews chapter 2, if I get out of Peter, it would help. Here we go. Verse 10, in bringing many sons to glory, yea, Lord, that's me, God in his lavish love calls me a child of God, bringing many sons to glory, it is fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect, complete, through suffering. Jesus suffered. He had to suffer. He was learning to be everything we are and to pay the price for that. Both the one who makes them holy, this was read to you earlier, but we read it again. Both the one who makes them men holy, Jesus, and those who are made holy, you and me, are of the same family. Here's the one I want you to take home. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. You know, sometimes we beat ourselves up as children of God. We look at what we're doing or not doing or how we should be, how it ought to be, and we think, God is so disappointed in me. And then he comes along and he puts his arm around you and he said, I'm not ashamed to call you brother. That's huge. Peter's sitting there weeping because he denied the Lord. Can you see Jesus just saying to him, Peter, get up. I'm not ashamed of you. Feed my sheep. Do something. Be active. Stand up. Straight and tall. I shouldn't say tall. It doesn't work for me. I have trouble with straight. Have confidence. Be God's man. Be God's woman. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. And he says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. How blessed we are to be the family of God. And the one who made it all possible, the author of our salvation, the one who is holy and makes us holy, are of the same family. And he says, we're brothers. I love you. Get a hold of that. I guess I said read through 18, so let's read some more. If I write it down, we have to read it. Here we go. Since the children have flesh and blood, I hope so, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps. He didn't come for angels. He came for us. He said he came not for the angels, but Abraham's descendants. That's us. For this reason, he gives you a reason. He has had to be made like his brothers in every way, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help us who are being tempted. We have the high points, we have the low points, and we have the whole routine, but God is with us every step of the way. As we walk in faith, we put our trust in him. And he's not ashamed to call you a brother. That's just profound to me. And he says in Mark chapter 8, a warning. If I get to Mark. This is Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name, is that what I, well, I'm in nine. Back one. Let's go back to eight. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, do you think that's a good description? You agree with that? Yeah, I think that is. The Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with all the holy angels. Can I be ashamed of him when he's not ashamed of me? How is that? How is that in this public domain that we have and freedom we have in America, really? Freedom of expression, we say. Well, Christians, speak up. Christians, live up. Why, it's even a test to even go out to the restaurant and say, Lord, thank you for the food. Is anyone looking? How could we possibly be ashamed of him when he's not ashamed of me and he calls me his brother? I don't know the closing verse, but it's in 1 John, the meditative verse. It's not written down here, mine. But I'm just going to read that to you as we close. It's back in 1 John. And I chose this for this reason. Here it is. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, and he's coming, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming, because we are children of God. And no one can defeat us. We are his people. The victory is already ours. But you know, the routine has a way of wearing down. We need to catch up with that and stand tall. You may never find $10 or $10,000, but God's just as real. And he's calling every one of us, as Paul did, run the race, fight the fight, be faithful to the end, and receive a crown of righteousness. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings of Christ Jesus. You open to us, Lord, an opportunity to be your children. We're not worthy. We're not going to be worthy. But you've declared us to be worthy in him. Lord, help us to love him as he loved us. Help us to stand tall. Be strong, assertive, not be ashamed of him in the least way. For we know he's not ashamed of us. He loves to be among us. You are so good. Thank you, Lord. I pray that if there's anyone who hasn't been walking with the Lord as they ought, Lord, that they recognize what's happening here. Touch their hearts. Bring them to you. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.